the basis of the blood, on the basis of the blood, I'm more than a conqueror, I'm a son of His.
Brother Houston, we're glad once again that you're tuning in with us to share with the share around the Word of God. I believe it's going to be a blessing to you today. We're going to kind of embark on a series of messages. They will be kind of connected, but we won't title them all the same because sometimes it's a little difficult for us to get things to flow on this computer if we kind of keep the same name. Amen? But anyway, we're glad to be here and share the Word of God with you. We just returned from a trip in Davenport, Florida, my wife and I. And had several meetings from dear friends of ours, of Saul and Pam Tapias. I hope I'm saying it correct. I never have asked them how to say that. So they're probably listening to me and will correct me at some point in time and straighten me out. But anyway, they live in they pastor the River of Fire in Davenport, Iowa. I'm going to say Davenport, Iowa every time I look at it. I'm sorry, it's Davenport, Florida. Davenport, Florida. 208 East Pine Street, and you can contact them at 863-588-2822 or visit their website, theriveroffire.org. And if you live in the Florida area, I just want to kind of encourage you to be a part of their the church, part of their ministry, be a blessing to you. And we will and tell them we sent you. Amen. And you better behave yourself when you go, because if you don't behave yourself, we didn't send you. Amen. Praise God. But I had a wonderful meeting, and maybe we'll get together, my wife and I, and kind of share some things. She's busy today, and I wasn't able to get her in here, but would like for her to sit down and share, because she always gives a different perspective on things and sees things from a different angle. And so it'd be good for her to do that. And it'd be good for you, because I do know this, when we shared a little bit about some of the situations that happened with us back around February, you know, we had a lot of response. And so I believe it's good for people to know, you know, something about both of us, because she's as much a part of the ministry as anybody else would be. And so, and more so, I guess, because we're one in the Lord. I guess that's a strange way to say it, but a lot of times she's not recognized as she should be, but she should be recognized. Amen. Well, I'm rambling around here. Don't know what I'm doing exactly, but we're gonna get started on the Word of God, and trust that you'll be got your Bible and you're ready to go. Amen. I do want to say one more thing before I do get started. We will be leaving here soon for the state of Virginia, and we have several meetings there. Then you can find out about them if you live in that area. You can find out about them, where to the place to contact and how to get there, the maps and all that are on our website at www.higherrealm.net. And I believe you'll be blessed if you'll come, and let us know if you heard us on, heard a podcast. If you come, let us know if you've been listening to our podcast. It'd be a real encouragement and blessing to us. Well, we're about ready to embark on something pretty serious here for long, and so we're going to share that with you when that time comes. We're working on all of the things that have to do with it, and want to kind of keep things in our hat until we're ready. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, as far as we know at this moment, maybe verse 8. Nevertheless, it said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We need to keep that point in mind right there. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, thou but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I'm going to talk to you, you know, it's a kind of a dear subject to me, important to me in various ways, because I've preached about it, I've lived it. We named our ministry in response to some of the things we're going to say to you today. But I used to have on my business card a scripture found in Psalms 18:16, and where it says he sent from above and took me. I'm turning there around. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. You know, coinciding with our natural realm, there is a spiritual realm. You know, people in the world know that. Sometimes Christians don't know that. But people in the world know that. They know that there's a spirit world. And of course, TV inundates us with all kinds of baloney and stuff about the spirit world and demons and ghosts and all kinds of things. And people say, well, I don't believe some of that's real. Well, there is a real spirit world. There are such things as demon spirits. And there are such things as angelic beings. And they're not fat little babies floating around with the wings on their back. But there are beings, big beings, if you want to say it that way. They're heavenly beings for sure. And they're, the Bible said in Hebrews 1:14, they're sent to minister unto them or us who shall be heirs of salvation. And so I believe there's a ministry that takes place for us after we become Christians. And I believe that there's a ministry of angels toward people who are not Christians, but are being prayed for by maybe other family members, that they'll come to the Lord and they're being protected by that. And so I'm gonna talk to you to some extent here. I don't know how many meetings or how many podcasts we'll do along this line, but we're going to deal with such things as illumination, revelation, and some things on how to get there. Maybe talk a little bit about the love of God and its relationship to it. I don't know exactly how it will flow. I can never say that because I'm not that type of a minister. I'm not line up on line and precept upon precept. I'm more of an inspirational speaker, if you want to say it that way. Well, this is one of the best stories in the world. See, we don't know what happened to us when we got born again, unless we understand here in John 3:3 that the word again means born from above. And then we realize that, and that coincides, by the way, with the context of the scripture, especially verse 6, and I pointed that out as we go on, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So there are two kinds of birth. You know, we are born into this earth. We're here because on legal grounds. But the devil, he's not here on legal grounds. He usurped authority from Adam and Eve, and now he's operating in the earth because Adam gave him the right to operate in the earth, but he really has no right to operate in your life if you're born again, because you stepped, even though you're in the world, Jesus said you're not of the world, so you stepped out of your kingdom, out of that kingdom of the world in a figuratively speaking anyway, and more, and even literally in some ways, over into the realm of the kingdom of heaven, and you now operate by those laws. We'll deal with the scripture maybe to some extent, but Romans 8:2, he said, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Well, that's really talking about two spirit realms, if you want to look at it that way. And so here's a person who has observed Jesus, no doubt, and thought about his ministry, thought about him, saw him, how he operated, and he wanted to know some things. So he come to Jesus. We want to know how you can do the miracles of God. I want to know. And so Jesus more or less is saying to him, well, and I'm going to paraphrase this here for a little bit. It's because I'm operating out of a different realm that has higher power and authority. You remember when Jesus was standing before Pontius Pilate, and he said to Jesus, "Don't you know that I have the power to take your life or give it?" He said, "You wouldn't have any power at all unless it's given to you from heaven." And so he was really talking about, you know, that which operates from a higher realm. In other words, Jesus himself said this when he was on the earth. He said, "No man takes my life. I have the power given to me by God to lay it down, pick it up. It's my choice. It's not their choice. They don't make the choices about how I operate." And so, he operated by spiritual laws and spiritual rules. And he was successful in everything he did. The Bible said that he had the anointing of God without measure. Well, here's Nicodemus. He's a religious leader. You think he would know something. Proof positive, there's a lot of people who've been in Christianity, been in the things of God for many years, but they know absolutely very little, if anything at all, about the person of God. And you know, that's part of why we have revelation. That's part of why we have illumination. an illumination is more or less an enhancement of what God has already revealed. But nevertheless, it's something, when it's illuminated, it's new to us. It's a revelation to us. And that's when the power begins to come. Well, really, Jesus didn't ascend to Nicodemus. Nicodemus saying to Jesus, rather, I know this much, that no man can do the miracles that you're doing except God be with him. Well, then, you know, he's one step up above other people, because sometimes there's some segments of Christianity and religion that if you begin to do miracles and perform miracles and see miracles take place, or talk to them about miracles for that matter, they will resist you, sometimes even ostracize you from their midst, because they don't want anything to do with you, because they don't believe in miracles. They don't believe they're for today. But, you know, it's amazing to me how that, and they'll say, well, you know, I don't believe in healing and all that stuff. Well, then if you don't believe in all that, why go to the doctor? I mean, you know, that may be a form and lower level of God's healing power, but nevertheless, it's God's healing power. And it's there for the benefit of us who need them. I used to have kind of some strange ideas, I think, about doctors over the years. But the fact still remains, they're a part of God's economy. I believe God's best, of course, is for us to walk in divine health and walk in divine healing and be healed when we need touch from God. You know, if we eat right and slept right and did right, we probably would be a lot healthier anyway, but we don't do that as human beings, most of us. We have strange habits that rob us of that. And then you can look at one person who may live meticulously and live short life, a very short life, and then you'll live another one who lives haphazardly, and they just live to be long, you know, and old. And that's, we have no understanding of why that is so, unless we understand that there's a spirit realm, and there are some things that you and I can violate in the realm of the spirit that will bring quick death to us. Let me give you one for example. You can't stand in unforgiveness towards someone and expect to live very long on this earth. And God in his mercy may allow it. I don't know. I can't tell you what God will do. I don't know what God will do, because we don't have nothing that says what to do. He just tells us, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive you. And the thing about it is, you can die so fast you don't have time to think about setting things straight. But God in heaven knows that you need to, if you haven't got it done. Now, so Jesus is saying, he's saying to Jesus, tell me how you do this. So Jesus said, I'll tell you what I want you to understand. You must be born again, or born from above, and or you cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus responded with a normal, old, ordinary, run-of-the-mill flesh response. Well, how in the world am I going to do that? Can I enter the second time into my mother's womb? Now, you would think a grown man that probably has some basic understanding of about anatomy, human anatomy, would understand that that's not going to be possible. The fact is, he was able to believe that was possible. He's asking the question, but most likely he's able to believe that's more possible than to believe that he can be born from above. There's something that caused him to have that kind of response. That's why we know verse 3 is talking about being born again, or born from above, or born, we're going to say it this way, or put another name on, being born of the Spirit. Because that's really what the context is talking about. And that's what he's saying here in verse 6. He said, there are some things born of the flesh, there are some things born of the Spirit. Well, you know, there's religious things born. I mean, there's things born out of a religious realm that's unreal. It looks good. It has all the appearance of something that's, you know, beneficial, but it's of no benefit whatsoever, because it's born of the flesh. It's something man has endeavored to bring about of his own power, and it's of no value whatsoever to God. If he didn't initiate it, he don't appreciate it. And that's the thing you got to understand. If he didn't initiate, see, a lot of times we'll do things, make a mess, make choices that are wrong for us, and make a mess out of ourselves, and make a mess of our whole entire situation, and say, well, Lord, you know, get me out of this. And he's going to say, okay, I'm going to get you out of it, but I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. I don't want you to do that again. And if you do it again, the next time it's not going to be so easy. And some people think, well, I can just, God's on a string. I can snap anytime I want to, and here he comes. That's not going to happen. Sometimes he's going to let you sweat some things out. Some of us have been around for a while can tell you that's the truth. You can sweat it out in faith and trust God to help you and deliver you and have mercy on you and ask forgiveness for doing something, whatever you did. You know, I've done a few of them things in my lifetime. If I would have been led of the Spirit of God more perfectly, I wouldn't have done them. But I did them nevertheless. And, you know, I got myself in a jam, and I've had to go, to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I did this. I overrode what you told me to do, overrode what I felt on the inside of me, and therefore I'm suffering because of it. And I'm going to ask you to forgive me for that. And then I'm going to ask you to have mercy and deliver me. And sometimes he's just brought great deliverance, and other times he's let me just walk it out. But you know, there's one thing about it, it'll cure you right quick when you have to walk through something you of your own making. And the thing about it is, it's hard for you to use your faith once that happens because you live in guilt. We shouldn't do that, but we do it nevertheless. And so God wants us to, you know, to see the, you know, operate according to what he says. So you would think a man of that, of a religious stature would know. He had no clue what Jesus was talking about. He said, well, how in the world am I going to do that? I mean, how can I do that when I'm old? Well, age has nothing to do with it. Thank God. There's no age in the spirit. I mean, you know, I'm aging in your physical body. I'm aging in my physical body. I'm aging in my mind. I'm aging in various, all those things that, you know, that pertain to my physiology. But there is no aging in my spirit. I don't know. I often think about this. I don't know how it will be when we get to heaven. I don't know what's going to happen when we step out of this body and into our new body. Will we be the age we were spiritually, or will we be the age we were, naturally? It's hard to know, isn't it? I mean, because some people go, if that is the case, and I don't know that it is, and I'm not saying that it is, but if it is the case, there'll be a lot of spiritual babies floating around heaven for a while till they grow up a little bit. And I don't know how all that's going to, God may put them in regular, ordinary human bodies for the simple fact that they were grown human beings on this earth. But spiritually speaking, once again, they're not going to be, mature like they should be. Now, so Nicodemus is saying, I'm getting things all mixed up here. Then Nicodemus said, how can I answer this? And Jesus said, you got to be born of the water, the word, and the spirit, or you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, verse 3 and verse 5 gives us a little something we need to see. First of all, Jesus said, before you can ever see the kingdom of God, you got to be born again. Except you be born from above, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, he wasn't talking about the kingdom of heaven. Sometimes that phrase will interchange, but he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, Romans 14:17, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost or in the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that as we deal with this series. So Jesus said, you must be born from above. If you're born from above, then you can see. See, your eyes are blind. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4:1, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them and they be saved. See, the devil's he's got a lot of number one tactics, but one of them is that he wants to keep you blinded to truth. He's a liar, the father of it. He makes a lie. Everything's originated in lies, originated in him. I don't care what it is. Jesus himself said the prince of this world comes, but he has no place in me. Jesus was no liar. He was telling the truth. Always told the truth. And so he said, you got to be born again. If you get born again, then you can see things spiritually. And the truth of the matter is they'll make very little difference in your life if you're trying to perceive them naturally, you know, or with your natural eye. They're not going to make any sense to you. They're foolish things. The Bible said that. We'll look at a scripture, maybe 1 Corinthians 2, I think verse 14 or 16, right in that area, 14, 15, 16. He said that, you know, the things of the Spirit of God are foolishness to the carnal man. Well, you know, you can be born again and you can see things. You have the capability of seeing things, but you do what verse 5, you won't enter into it. And so, therefore, you're a person who will get to heaven. You'll just be very ignorant when you get to heaven, and you're going to live on a very low level of spiritual things here on this earth because you refuse to walk in. But see, you've been given the capacity to see. God, as you read the Word of God and prepare yourself, you'll begin to see things spiritually that you've never seen before, and you'll realize you need to get up in here and begin to partake of some of that. But he said, yeah, you cannot, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, the opposite of that is, if you are, then you can. Now, some folks don't want to. Some folks don't want to see certain things because it initiates responsibility for them to live up to, and they don't want to do that. But we're responsible for what we see. What we see, we will walk in if we see it. And we may come back and talk about that. In fact, I don't know if I have enough time to deal with that properly here, but in 1 John, the first epistle of John, you want to keep your little Bible marker here, and we'll come back to this thing. But 1 John, I'm turning there, and not very fast on top of that. 1 John 1, and John's talking, and John was with Jesus. I'm going the wrong direction in my Bible, people. 1 John 1, I'm getting there. I finally arrived. Thank God. Lift your hands where you're at and say, thank God, the preacher found the Bible. Amen. He said, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, chapter 1, verse 1, first epistle of John, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life, now listen, was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that you may be that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness and we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is uncleansed from all sin. Now you see, Romans 8:1 said, if we walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, we could read that verse this way, but if we walk in the Spirit as he is in the Spirit, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is uncleansed from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, he's talking to Christians here. See, the thing about this is, the life was something that was manifested. Life is not, Jesus was a demonstration of life in one way, but it was the life of God. And John had to be talking about that. He wasn't talking about life in general, as we would understand. You know, here's a person, they've got a life. They're living, they have a life. Well, they are living and they do have a life, but they may not have the life of God on the inside of them. The life of God makes a world of difference, because you, the Bible said in Ephesians 2:1, were dead in trespasses and sin, but now he's quickened us and made us alive. In Christ, we are made alive. And so then he's saying here then, in verse 3, that we've seen and heard declare when you, and you also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So what he's saying then is, when we have, by our spirit man, seen the true life of God, we'll begin to walk in it. When we do that, then we'll begin to walk in a level where we'll have fellowship with God. Amen. We will fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And so it takes you to a higher level. That's really what it means. We may come back to that again, verses again later on. But Jesus is saying then to Nicodemus, you get born again, born from a grub, you'll see the kingdom of God. Get yourself on up in there and walk in that. Now, you can't get it from a natural thing, because if you see it, you will do it. If you truly see it, and do not do it, then you're in a state of rebellion worse than you need to be. I'm going to tell you that right now, because revelation is an illumination is a higher level of things. I can mentally comprehend things by looking at the Word of God, but it's a different thing between comprehending it and actually seeing it, because once you see it, you do it. You're compelled by God Almighty to do something with what you see. You know, we'll say we believe it, and we do to a measure, but when we actually really come to faith with it, there is no doubt in our mind about it whatsoever, then I'll tell you right now, the devil's going to have a hard time, and you're going to start living in victory. And I don't know where some people are, but I know where I am with it. And when we get, especially to the part where we talk about the illumination, we'll begin to show you some things that's of a great nature. That will be a great help to you. So Jesus said, there's things born of the flesh, there's that which is born of the Spirit. And then he said, that was born of the Spirit's like the wind. You can hear the sound, but you can't tell whence it cometh and whether it goes. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So there's what is he saying? Does that mean we're some kind of strange person? Well, we may be a little different and strange according to the world, but what it's really saying is that we're not going to walk like the world. We're not going to do things naturally. You know, there's something on the inside of us that motivates us to be different. People look at you and say, boy, you sure are different. You're a strange person, or whatever they say about you, good, bad, or ugly. They're going to say it. And when they say it, they'll be true in one sense of the word. If you're walking after the Spirit of God, you're not going to be normal in any sense of the word. Well, watch Jesus. I mean, he... and he walked after the Spirit, he was not, as we would say, normal. I mean, if you looked at him, there was things he did that the Scriptures even said there's some people thought he was mad. His family thought he was mad. They went to get him one time because they thought it was something, he was maybe deranged or whatever ideology they had, whatever idea they had about him. But he wasn't. He was walking after the Spirit of God. That's why he went about, the Scripture says, doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, because the law he operated by was greater than the law that that was operating in the world. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have more abundantly. He said, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy all the works of the devil. And so you ought to understand, when he started walking by the Spirit of God. He walked in the Holy Ghost. And when he did, bless God, it was just astounding what happened as a result of that walking like that. And so Nicodemus is wanting to know how the miracles are done. He knows Jesus is the teacher, and he can mentally comprehend that he's not the ordinary run-of-the-mill generic teacher. But he also associated miracles with the things that Jesus taught. And I believe that's a true principle. You know, a lot of times when I want people to get something from God, I'll sit down and teach them a few things about what the Word of God says. And then once I get them done, and sometimes they have to come from two or three different angles to get that truth across to them. But once that happens, then praise God, it's something else. Hallelujah. They'll grasp it. It's the same principle for me. I can read it over and over and over. What saith it? The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Sometimes I'll talk it and talk it and talk it, but then I have to get it down on the inside of me. Once it gets on the inside of my spirit, then I'm on top of the pile, so to speak, and the devil is going to move over. And I'm working on some things right now because I need to have victory in certain areas of my life, and probably you do too. Well, you're going to learn a lot from these teachings, and I believe they're going to be a help and a blessing to you. Amen. Hopefully we'll get up and running. We're going to have to do two or three, and we're going to be gone for a while, so we're going to probably do several weeks in advance. And Brother Matt will put these on weekly, and you'll be able to hear them, and you'll be blessed. Amen. Invite your neighbor to come and listen to the Word of God. It'll be a help and blessing to them. Father, I pray for all those that are listening to me by way of this podcast. I pray the blessing of God come upon them. If they're not born again, let them receive Jesus Christ now as the Lord and Savior of their life. And we'll rejoice in that, and heaven will rejoice in that. We'll bless them, speak blessing on their life in Jesus' name. Now remember this, God is exalted, Satan is defeated, and Jesus Christ is Lord.
By one Jesus Christ, reigning through life on the basis of the blood.